From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Your job isn't cutting it, or you lost it, or you've got a dream. You need a new career, need to finally take the leap and start that business. But there's so much you don't know. A been there, done that mentor would really help. Well, these days, they're more available than ever, just in time in our crazy economy. This hour, On Point, taking the leap with some nitty-gritty advice to get you through. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. If we're all, as they say, going to have half a dozen careers, how do we learn about the next one? Are you planning right now? Has a mentor helped? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We will talk in this hour with some career-specific mentors and a new coffee shop owner who was mentored. But first, I'm joined by Brian Kurth in Austin, Texas. He's founder and CEO of Pivot Planet, an online service that matches mentors with people looking to change careers or start a new business. Brian Kurth, thanks very much for being with us from Austin.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Tom.
A little demand out there for mentors?
There's a lot of demand out there for expert mentors and advisors.
We're going to look at that. And with us from Piscataway, New Jersey, Kathy Crepcio. She's Executive Director of the Center for Workforce Development at Rutgers University. Kathy, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom, for having me.
We want to talk with you about the big picture, but just so we can get a feel for this, the work that you and others now do, Brian, I guess much probably enhanced by the internet making so much communication possible, what's the need that you're scratching here?
Well, you know, the need that was originally scratched nearly a decade ago was with my first company, Vocation Vacations, and people wanting to explore something new, starting a new career, starting a new business especially. We had a lot of entrepreneurial wannabes, in a sense. And to your point, with the advances of with technology, the 1 to 3 day career mentorship experiences that we provided with Vocation Vacations over the last decade.
Meaning you take really, a vacation where you settled in with somebody who's already doing that thing you were thinking about.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And we still provide that with Pivot Planet. It is part of Pivot Planet. But what we realized was, oh my gosh, with the advance of especially video conferencing, Skype,
all the rest,
GoToMeeting, and FaceTime and the like, more and more people were coming to us, Tom, saying, you know, I really want to be mentored by Tom out in Boston, but before I go out to Boston, can't I Skype with him for an hour or two? And we thought, why not? Why can't you do that? You should be able to do that. So you test the waters before you test the waters.
And what kind of people then are coming to you and they're saying, I want to do X, Y, or Z? What are people thinking about doing? I know coffee shop. We're going to talk with that. But
right?
I mean, is it what's the range of things?
We are A to Y. We're working on Zookeeper. We don't have Zookeeper yet.
Okay.
So if there are any zookeepers out there. But we are literally, for Pivot Planet, our consumer product, it is acupuncturist to yoga studio owner and everything in between.
I mean, I've seen actor,
technology,
fitness trainer, organic farmer, hair salon owner, pastry chef, voiceover artist. That's pretty close to Z right there with a V.
Yep.
That's a lot. Well, look at how that works. Kathy, what is driving this? Has it always been thus that Americans, you know, we're sort of restless by nature, we're looking for career changes, people get the entrepreneurial bug or want to start that coffee shop or bakery, whatever it may be? Or do we have even more of it going on these days when everybody's told you're going to have half a dozen careers, quote unquote, within a lifetime? Do we have even more demand for help with change?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is what we call part of the new normal economic outlook in the United States. I mean, currently in the last couple of decades, you know, probably you and I both know people who used to have jobs. They've been in those jobs for 30 years, 40 years. Mm-hmm. There was not a notion of changing career. You went to school. It was one and done. And then you went into a job and you stayed there forever. But in the new economy, with higher sustained rates and lengths of unemployment and underemployment, and wage stagnation and falling workforce participation, people are more than ever changing jobs or having to change careers.
And when they get ready to do that, I mean, you look at this whole arena. Do you find people like with the desire, but the how do I actually put one foot in front of the other to do it?
Well, absolutely. And I would say there's two realities of changing careers in today's labor market. One is what I call the reality for the willing and the motivated. These are people who, you know, they are about ready to retire from a long career, and they've always, you know, it's somebody named Jack, and he says to his wife, Madge, you know, Madge, I've always wanted to run a coffee shop, or I've always wanted to be a dog walker or open up that restaurant. For them, this kind of career change is exhilarating and exciting. It's a risk, as any opening a business is a risk, or changing careers is a risk. But for them, It's a happy, exhilarating, excited, I'm motivated. As you said earlier, I have a dream. But then there's what I call that career change for the unwilling. And for these folks, these are people who might have lost their jobs, might have lost their industries due to changes in globalization or technology. They are scared. It's nerve-wracking. It's exhausting. It's daunting. And for somebody like that, and I'll give you an example, you're in manufacturing. Maybe you have a high school education. You're in the textile industry, and those industries have gone, especially in the South. What are the jobs in that particular area? You may say, well, you know, the biggest job growth is healthcare, so I want to be a nurse. So if you go for being from somebody with a high school degree in manufacturing to have to go into a healthcare or want to go into a healthcare career, which has educational requirements and credentialing, it's very daunting.
Of course, and it's more than those. I mean, I have friends in my 20s who are getting into new small businesses, and some not so small. But to learn the ropes, to know how it works, I mean, even for young Americans, probably a big deal. Let's go to some right now. Elizabeth in Beverly, Massachusetts is calling. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the air. What's your story?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was recently laid off this summer and sort of had this conversation with my husband what to do next. Decided to start a cupcake business from my house. And it's part of the fun. I'm just, you know, I know nothing about how to start a small business, taxes, what needs to be filed, how to register, and all of that. So yeah. It's been a process of trying to figure all of it out.
Elizabeth, how old are you?
I'm 31.
31, starting a cupcake business. That sounds like a popular thing to do these days. Going in or now, do you have any idea what it's going to take, what kind of volume of sales to make a go of it? Do you need it to be a real revenue-producing business for your household?
Yeah, that would be my dream to eventually have it just be what I do all the time. My husband is a teacher, so we need to have a sustainable business. Part of it is just figuring out how much I need to charge and, you know, factoring in my time and making it work with my schedule.
Elizabeth, I really appreciate your call. Brian Kurth, Kathy Krepsio, please stand by. Let's go right to one of these mentors. This is a mentor who has done work with Pivot Planet, Brian's company. There are others in this arena, Skillshare and Mentor Mob. Duncan has done some through Pivot Planet. Not a cupcake baker, but a coffee shop owner who has helped others who were thinking about doing that learn the ropes. He joins us right now from New Haven, Connecticut. He's owner of Coffee on Audubon, coffee shop in New Haven, Connecticut. Duncan Goodall, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, Tom.
It must be a busy life running a coffee shop, I imagine. Why did you carve out the time to mentor?
Well, I really enjoy teaching other people how to do things. And, to be very honest, when I went from corporate America and started this business, it was such an enormous life change for me for the better. I looked at this and the experience, and I thought, man, maybe I can help other people do this too.
You were a Yale grad, went off into consulting, got sort of ground up and spit out by that and went for your own coffee shop. So when people come to you, do they come in a knowing way? Do they have any idea what it really takes? Or do they just have a dream of, you know, hanging out with that nice coffee smell in the air and making money?
You know, I get a wide array of people that come to me and ask for help. There are some people who really do just have this romantic vision of a coffee house where they can just walk in and hang out with friends and drink some good coffee and the business will just sort of magically work around them. But I would say that's probably about half. And then most of the other people come into it with some plans, some ideas. They've already done a fair amount of reading and have put a lot of thought into it.
I want to open a coffee shop. I'm sick of my job. What's the first thing you tell me, Duncan?
Well, let's see here. The first thing I tell people is that there are three major things that you need to focus on when you start a coffee house. Mm-hmm. The first thing, and in some ways this is probably the most important, is that you have to prepare your life for this. This is going to be a life-changing event.
Why? How?
Well, it's changing in a couple of different ways. First of all, the nature of how you make your money changes, because most people, when they work, they're essentially exchanging time for money.
Yep.
And when you own your own business, that whole model, that whole construct changes to you are paid by the value you create.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to get people to understand that it's no longer a matter of just putting in massive amounts of hours. It's now figuring out a way to create value for your customers.
You've got to think in terms of profit and loss and the bottom line.
Profit and loss, the bottom line, exactly, that sort of thing.
And for a lot of people, that must be that in itself, not putting in the time and waiting for the paycheck, must be a big change of mind frame.
It really is. And you know, part of starting a business is that when you first start off, you put in massive amounts of time and basically don't get paid for it. And that's a really difficult thing for people to get over. But then the flip side to that is after you've been doing it for a while, 3, 4, 5 years, suddenly you realize that you can actually put in a lot less time and get paid more for it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about starting new careers, even a new business, and the mentoring, the look before you leap that can make the difference between success and failure. In an economy where there's so much change, where people are told they may have half a dozen careers in a lifetime, this can be a big deal, not just for a paycheck, but for dreams, maybe for both. Kathy Crepsio is with us. She's director, executive director of the Center for Workforce Development at Rutgers University. Brian Kurth is here, founder and CEO of Pivot Planet. It's an online service that matches mentors and people looking for that kind of advice. Duncan Goodall is here from New Haven, Connecticut, owner of Coffee on Audubon, their coffee shop. He's been around this block himself. And he was just walking us through the sort of 1, 2, 3 of first advice he gives, and then we'll hear from someone who got it. Duncan, you were saying, first of all, prepare your life. You're going to have to actually create value to make a living here. Number two?
Yeah, so the number two is niche and figuring out what your niche is going to be. If you just go into the marketplace and open up a generic coffee house that does generic coffee house kind of things, you're going to fail. You have to figure out a niche.
So you mean you have to have a theme or a sort of an attitude or a
theme,
posture?
A theme, an attitude, a design. You create a niche to appeal to a certain subset of the population. I like to think about it in terms of if you try to be everything to everyone, then you are nothing to everyone.
Okay.
So you instead think about your customer base in terms of not everyone is going to want your product.
Decide what you are. Make it distinctive.
So make it distinctive, make it interesting,
yeah.
Make it anti-Starbucks.
And yeah, you better do that. And three?
And number three is location. Location, location, location. If you're in the wrong location with the best business practices and the best niche, you are not going to succeed. So you have to spend a lot of time and energy and effort up front finding an excellent location for your shop.
Let's talk to somebody who's been around this track. In fact, with you, Melissa Owen joins us from Plano, Texas, co-owner with her husband, Jerry, of the 1418 Coffee House. They were mentored by Duncan Goodall through Pivot Planet. Melissa, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Did you know right off the bat that you needed some advice to get this done? Could you have just plunged in and done it yourselves?
No, we actually knew that we needed someone who had, you know, expert advice, and we knew what we wanted to do is just getting started in what direction, you know.
Why were you doing this? Were you both thrown out of your jobs and needed to make a living? Were you in jobs but wanted to do something else? Why?
I was an operating room nurse, so I did not need to leave my profession, but I was really getting burned out, and my husband is a pastor, and he wasn't leaving his job. So it was just a desire and a dream to create a third place for people to communicate and to have community. And we love to talk and we love fellowship. So that was, and we love coffee. So that, those go hand in hand. And that was the thing we wanted to do.
I mean, you might find somebody who had a coffee shop, maybe in another town, who would advise you on how to do this. But a lot of these are businesses now. This one's a business.
Yeah.
I mean, you paid for this advice. Was it worth it?
Oh, heck yeah. I'm in an area that is a great historical area and had no coffee shop. And I'm the only coffee shop here. And I have a Starbucks like maybe a mile away, but as I call it Charbucks. And everybody doesn't want to go there. I mean, it's too corporate, too starch, too sterile, and they want to hang out. And that's what I provide is a hangout, a neighborhood hangout, like Cheers.
Boy, you're in it, talking smack about your competition. There's Starbucks already. what's your niche? You got that advice, I assume, from Duncan. So what'd you figure out? What's your niche?
Duncan is amazing. And, you know, I knew I didn't want a TV. I mean, I knew I did not want to have a place with a TV in it. And that's, everybody has a TV, even in restaurants. And, you know, I wanted couches. I wanted big comfy chairs. You know, we took a lot of advice from Duncan. It's a place where people can just hang out at computers. It strictly is a vibe where it's just really laid back, kind of a 70s, 80s vibe.
Are you making money yet, Melissa, or does it look like it's going to be a labor of love?
Well, of course I'm not making money because we had to, you know, pay 2 months rent before we opened because our permits were a little bit behind in getting approved. But,
okay. You
know, we are starting to see some profit and getting more exposure. We're getting a lot of crowds coming. This kind of right now, I've got the afternoon crowd, late morning and afternoon crowd. I don't have the early morning yet, but it's getting there. I opened a coffee shop in late July, which wasn't
the smartest
thing to do.
That means you're just in it. Hey, Duncan, were Melissa and Jerry good students?
Oh, they were fantastic. They were there at the crack of dawn, and they worked all the way through the day. They didn't even want to stop for lunch, and they asked me all the right questions, too. I was very impressed by them. They really knew their stuff. They knew what they wanted. They knew what they wanted to get into, and they really worked at it.
We've got more businesses to look at, but Melissa Owen with the 1418 Coffee House in Plano, Texas, we wish you luck with yours. Thank you very much for being with us today, Melissa.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Kathy, what about paying for mentoring? I mean, in the old sort of ideal vision, you know, you go out and you find somebody someone who's been around the track, and they just give you the advice you need and off you go. Like a lot of other things, that itself is made into a business here. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's an interesting development because, you know, for somebody who is not getting that kind of advice and can pay for it, I think it certainly is one way to fill that particular niche. I mean, you can go and get free advice. You know, in the past, you can go to these organizations of retired executives called SCORE. You can go to American Job Centers, which is the public workforce system financed by the federal government. But you may not always get the kind of very specific field of dreams oriented advice that you can possibly get through this business. So I think it's an interesting development. But I also think that if you're an individual who doesn't have a lot of resources, you need to weigh very carefully whether you can spend the money to do that, whether it's worth it for you, or whether you want to go to some place where maybe they perhaps offer that service free of charge. But either way, I guess one of the things I wanted to point out is, from our experience at the Heldrick Center studying job seekers and career changers and laid off workers, it is important to get good career advice from people who are in that particular industry. And you don't always get that in the public workforce system. You may get a generic career counselor, and you may not get somebody who understands that particular field that you want to go into. So I think this is a very interesting development for people.
No substitute for the nitty gritty. Mac in Nashville, Tennessee is calling. Hi, Mac. You're on the air. What's your story?
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Okay.
I'm a 62-year-old young person, and I had an opportunity to start a business after I had been out of work for 4 years due to the economic downturn.
Yeah, you and a lot of others.
Yeah, but this was a great opportunity, and I prayed about it a lot, and I felt like I should move ahead with it. But it was a combination retail consignment shop for marine equipment and recreational water equipment.
Okay.
And
so for skis and outboard motor engines and I don't know what all.
Boats and everything. I sold boats too.
Okay.
But the problem was I didn't have any money because I had been out of work. My credit wasn't the greatest.
Yeah.
I did go to school. I did go to small business incubation centers. I didn't really get the help that I felt I needed.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I was able to hang with it for about 9 months. But then the cost of the overhead, you know, started eating me up.
Sure.
But it was coming along, right?
Yeah. I couldn't
keep the overhead up, so I had to close it. The bottom line is, a year to the day in August that I closed my business, I'm still getting 2 to 3 calls a week about people wanting to know where I am.
You know, that's a sad story because I can imagine a pretty good market for consignment, marine gear. I mean, there's always people who are looking to kit up on that front, but there was the money issue. Brian Kurth, you're listening. I mean, mentoring is one thing, and mentoring is advice on money, of course, among other things. But what about Mac's story in Nashville? How do you deal with, I mean, if you've got the desire, you may even learn the ropes, but if you don't have the capital, what do people do, Brian?
Right. What do you do? Well, I think going back to what Kathy had mentioned earlier, she was spot on when she said, you know, for those who are the career change for part of the career change for the unwilling. And that's really, Mac, where you, you know, fell.
He didn't want to lose that job, but he did. But yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, the best thing, you know, in that scenario is if you're not able to pay for that, really, you know, the expertise that you need. Whether it be through Pivot Planet or through some other organization or going back and taking a course at a community college, everything does cost some money. And you do, you know, get out of things what you put into things. So, it, you know, nothing really, quote, comes for free.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would say that, you know, for anyone listening who is thinking of starting a business, whether it be a coffee house or like what Mac did with a consignment for marine materials and jet skis and the like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have a business plan, and you've got to have someone, whether it's through SCORE, whether it's a Pivot Planet expert, whether it's a friend, whether it's someone who's working in finance, someone has to help you through that business plan and creating one. If you do not have a business plan, you are not an entrepreneur or a small business
owner. No, you've got to have that, but sometimes you just need capital. I mean, Duncan Goodall, the people coming to you to do a coffee shop, are they already filtered by those who have enough to sort of, you know, lease that first espresso machine and get going? What about folks like Mac who are ready, smart, know their market, but just don't have the money behind them, maybe after, in his case, some years out of a job?
You know, you bring up a very valid point, and it's something that I have gotten a number of requests to talk about this exact issue. And the answer to that, I mean, I agree with Brian that a business plan is absolutely necessary, that you need to sort of really, a business plan forces you to think through the issues. But the other thing is start cheap. So in the case of Mac, perhaps the business, when he took that over, instead of sort of taking over this business lock, stock, and barrel, perhaps starting it out of his garage.
But, you know, consignment sounds about as cheap as you can start because in a lot of cases you don't even buy what you're selling. You just got it there.
No, but you also have a building, you have employees, that type of thing. Instead, start as cheaply as humanly possible to make sure that you can actually get make sure the business has legs. And actually, one of the things that I'm working on right now is how to start a coffee house with the minimum amount of money. And so I'm, you know, starting to write these pieces, and it's in I've started on one of my blogs talking about this.
Start cheap. Let me take that to Mac in Nashville. Mac, are you nodding along, or does that kind of get your goat? I mean, you tried for a business consignment that shouldn't have big capital requirements to begin with. Were you lavish?
It can't. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, as I said initially, I prayed about this a long time before. You know, it was one of those kind of things where you see this opportunity fling open, and you know you need to get through it before it closes or you miss it.
Yeah.
So I just jumped through the door, okay?
Yeah.
But the good thing about it was I talked to the fellow that owned the business, and I explained my plan to him. I laid it all out for him, for he and his wife. They let me have my building for the first month absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
No, and no lease on a month-to-month basis only, which is unheard of, you know. And then I've had other businesses, you know, I carried new products. It was retail plus consignment.
Okay. Stores, so yeah, carried, all right.
I carried new products, and I convinced several manufacturers to let me have their products on consignment on time.
Hey, Mac, you know, you sound like a guy that I'd like to do business with, but now the business hasn't worked out. What's your plan? What are you going to do now? A lot of people in this country are facing some version of your dilemma. What are you going to do?
Well, Tom, I went ahead and retired because, you know, I got tired of whipping the horse, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that made me go for this was I finally got a job after 4 years with a company. I understood that the job was a permanent job. When I went for the interview, they said it was only a temporary job. And then they told me that there was a possibility of permanence after a certain amount of time. Well, I went in and did what they wanted me to do in half the time that they wanted me to do it, and I still got laid off after 10 weeks.
Oh,
not 10 weeks, but 6 weeks.
Mac, listen, you sound like a great guy, and I'm sorry those two haven't worked. I hope you hit the stride that works just right for you, and I really appreciate your story and your call today, Mac. Thanks for calling in.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
What do you do about the capital end of things if you've been in a situation where you've been out of work and you don't have it? I mean, what can you do? I mean, I heard that there is something called some kind of angels or something like that.
Yeah, well, I'll
exactly. Tom, could I?
Yes,
is
Brian?
Reply?
Yes, please. Sure.
Yeah, this is Brian. Mac, I was just going to suggest that get some angels, get some angel investors. And it can be friends and family. And with the consignment, you know, it sounds like the cash flow, you know, it's a lot of money, but it's not $1 million that you need. You know, we're talking probably tens of thousands of dollars to get you 6 months down the road, to kick the can down the road and get you further down the road. So whether it be people you know, friends or family, write that business plan. It does not need to be, you know, War and Peace. It can be a few pages. Get some numbers on a piece of paper, and talk to people in your local community. Talk to the vendors that you're talking to. As Tom mentioned, you know, you sound like someone that we all would like to do business with. And the Great Recession hit you hard. Get creative. Get that business plan put together, and then get some angel investment from friends, family, or complete strangers who believe in your business plan and believe in you and that you're going to make that company work.
Mac, I know those are a few sentences, you know, like in a few sentences, there's a lot of work described right there, but we hope it works out for you, and I appreciate your call, Mac. Hey, Duncan, what about the percentage of people you've dealt with that have gone on to do it? How many are still in business?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. Most of the people have sort of taken what I've talked to them about, and, you know, a number of them I've lost contact with. And, you know, some of them I've even dissuaded from going down this particular path.
Why?
Well, because it was in reference to something I made that I talked about earlier. Sometimes people have an ill-conceived notion of what this type of work is and what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come into it with this idea that they can sit around with their friends and drink lattes all day and have a charming old time. But the reality is that when you first start off a business, you have to work a lot. And it's, you know, there's a lot of issues that you have to deal with.
Not everybody's ready to do that. Duncan, we're going to move on from coffee, but we're grateful to you for being with us. We wish you best of luck. Coffee on Audubon in New Haven, Connecticut with Pivot Planet. Thank you so much, Duncan. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about starting new careers, even a new business, and the mentoring, the look before you leap that can make the difference between success and failure. We live in an economy where a lot of people have lost jobs, need new work, have to be creative sometimes. Others just want to get on to a new track. It's actually business now of helping you connect with people who do that. One of the people doing that is Brian Kurth. He joins us today from Austin, Texas, founder and CEO of Pivot Planet. It's an online service that matches mentors in different fields with people looking to start a new career in those fields. Kathy Crepcio is with us from Piscataway, New Jersey. She's executive director at the Center for Workforce Development at Rutgers University, looking at the big picture of Americans actually grappling with this new economy, where we're told you may have half a dozen different careers, but that's a lot easier to say than to pull off. Brian, Kathy, plenty of response online here. John Lee says, zookeeper here, if you need the encouragement. So there's your Z in the A to Z advice category. You've got,
please,
you know,
contact us.
Yeah, Pivot Planet. Here's Jay says, nothing wrong with being a pastry chef, but know how much you can realistically expect to make before you borrow tens of thousands of dollars to get trained up for it. True. And here's a story from Lindsay. She says, I'm 28. And I left neurodegenerative bench research, scientific research, 10 months ago to work from home as a freelance scientific editor. I'm fortunate to have a PhD, so it's not only, you know, your high school grads who are in this world, lots of people, and an editing credential, and was able to double my postdoc salary. It's sometimes daunting to deal with invoicing, quarterly tax payments, and purchasing your own health insurance. But the low pay and pitiful NIH funding success rates make it worth it. I mean, Kathy, there's somebody with a whole lot of education. And even in her case, she's looking to get out there and now freelance and doubling up her income by doing it. Headaches come with it, but she's making her own way.
Absolutely. And she's part of that, what I call the willing, as I said earlier. You know, she's got an education. She's young. She's got some flexibility. She understands that she needs to have some kind of business sense. But clearly, there's people all over this country trying to figure that kind of stuff out who might have master's degrees and bachelor's degrees, and they're trying to make that career change. But as you said earlier, I do think it is so critically important, and we have seen this in our research, that you talk to somebody who is in a particular field, especially if it's you're going to make that leap. And I think the kind of career counseling and quality career counseling from somebody who knows that field. And I certainly saw this when I worked in New York City after 9/11. I was working with the September 11th Fund and working with people who from all walks of life, from financial planners who'd lost their job to restaurant workers or garment factory workers who'd lost their job. And everybody, you know, we realized the same thing, that not only, well, there's this high tech world out there. People need a high touch. They need good counselors. They need a good role model. And I think this kind of business does fill a niche for people.
Brian, where are you finding the most interest? What kind of job changes or new businesses are drawing the most attention? Are they these kind of, you know, hair salon, coffee shop, bakery things? Or are they, I want to become a neurodegenerative disease scientist? what range?
Yeah, it is a full range, and it goes back to what Kathy said earlier. It really does fall between those who are willing and those that were impacted by the Great Recession and the career changes for the unwilling. And so it falls in two categories. And so those coming to Pivot Planet, our consumer product, they are willing. They have some money in the bank. You know, it's inexpensive. It starts off usually right around $75 to $100 per hour for our expert advisors. And but you have to be willing, and you have to have a little bit of cash in order to do that. But for those that are impacted and are really unwilling and being forced into it, they're expecting someone else to pay for it. And fair enough, you know, and Mac may, you know, fit into this. So they're looking for either their former employer to provide it free to them as part of outplacement.
And some do.
And so then they're able to appreciate all that expertise and mentorship, but their former employer is paying for it, or their trade association, or their alumni association, or their current employer from a retention perspective. And to keep them employed, which is as much of a real issue right now as well. We haven't really talked about that. You know, we're talking about the downside of the economy, but I'm here to tell you that the pendulum has swung. And getting to your question a little bit more directly here, where are the areas of interest? It is everything from, you know, that acupuncturist to yoga studio owner, but it is also technology. That's a new area for us with mentorship and expertise and healthcare. And so huge areas of opportunity for us, and we're bringing on more and more mentors in those areas, because guess what? There is a glut of opportunity, you know, in terms of there are jobs available within those fields. So if you want to be a developer, if you want to be a healthcare administrator, not just a nurse or a doctor, you don't have to go back to school for 15 years or something like that. You do need to get some credentials, however, back to what Kathy said earlier. You might need to go back and take a one-year course at a community college to get, you know, medical records, administrative credentials, you know, that kind of thing. There is opportunity there, and that's where we're helping. So it's on the consumer side with Pivot Planet, through Pivot Outplacement for those who have been laid off and displaced, and then through Pivot Enterprise, which is our ability to replicate our complete platform and private label it for corporations,
so a company
universities,
can use
and
it
trade
to,
associations.
To help their people. But you better be serious when you show up. I mean, I'm looking here at sort of priceless $114 an hour to be mentored by an organic farmer. Fitness trainer, $180 an hour. I mean, spend a day with somebody and you've got $1,000+ on the line. On the other hand, if it's a whole new job or career coming up, maybe that's a good investment. Matt in Dracut, Massachusetts. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm okay. What do you see?
Well, I'm one of the, I guess you could say, unwilling and willing at the same time.
What do you mean?
I was IT, basically. I did computer tech work, help desk, desktop support.
Yeah.
I worked my way up all the way to basically a chief inventory guy.
Okay.
Now, I was laid off. I got hit pretty hard, and right now I'm still unemployed. Again, I guess you could say that's where the unwilling comes in. The willing comes in that I do want to start something up, but I just regretfully do not have the capital. I have ideas. I just don't have the direction or support, I guess you can say, to go forward with it. And I've gone through SCORE. I've gone through the others, trying to get proposals together, and I've been pretty much point-blank told that a proposal is a personal thing and that not one person can tell me how to write one because it is up to me to write it. No suggestions, nothing like that, and it gets frustrating when you go onto places like LinkedIn, when you go on to SCORE and go to places like that and try to get support or try to get help by
yeah.
these people who have been through this path.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what can we tell you?
Well, I mean, you can just go down to the library, I suppose, and find a business plan book. But at the same time, Kathy Crypsio, jump in here. People talk about labor mobility and reinvention of careers. Here's Matt, 39 years old, right there in computer tech, ready to do it. But, it's not so easy. It's not just falling off a log.
Well, it's not that easy. And, you know, as we'd said earlier in this program, you know, it takes time and it takes money and it takes motivation. So it's your time. But if you don't have the money, and as you said earlier, it's either you're going to find the money from somebody else, whether it's angel investors or money to go back for education and training through the public workforce system, or you're going to borrow or to get a loan. It is a very difficult and daunting task. And Matt is a perfect example of the kind of person who's, as you said, willing, and I'm motivated to do something, and I'm sure you're motivated because you need to make a living. But there is this time and money issue, as well as trying to find people who can really help you and getting that personalized attention. If you couldn't get it from SCORE, you know, if people have a hard time navigating where to get that thing that they need. But in the end, you got to do it yourself.
We've heard SCORE mentioned several times. What is it exactly, Kathy?
It's an organization of retired executives, and they're all over the country. And, you know, it's a free service. And there's also, I think Matt mentioned, these small business administration places, as well as I said, the American Job Centers, which are from the Department of Labor and run by every state. So there are free resources, but it's amazing how people don't know about a lot of these resources, or they try them out. And maybe the quality is good in some places, but not good in other places. So a lot of it's just a lot of just trying to figure out what is the best thing for you and where you're going to get the best help.
Good luck, Matt. Let's get another mentor in here. Samantha Swaim joins us from Portland, Oregon. Mentor heads up an event planning and charity fundraising firm. I can imagine people saying, oh, yeah, I could do event planning. I could do charity fundraising. Samantha Swaim, thanks for joining us from Portland.
Absolutely. Hi, Tom. How are you today?
I'm good. So what kind of people tend to come to you to say, I want to get into this? How do they imagine what they're going to be doing? What kind of personality types show up at your door or your Skype, Samantha?
Well, I think I've had the whole gamut. I've had folks who are new into the workforce. They're students or mm-hmm. they're just graduating and they're looking to be able to figure out how to get their foot in the door. And they have an interest area and they're looking to experts in that field to be able to gain mentorship and training and internships and job opportunity and experience.
Okay.
I've had entrepreneurs coming to me looking to figure out how to start their own business or grow their business. Some are already in business and looking at how to be more successful, further develop their niche, sort of put into play some of the practices that they feel like could help, but not necessarily know what steps to take.
So what do you say? Event planning, I helped my sister plan her wedding, so I feel like I could do event planning. Well, you're laughing already, and you're supposed to be my mentor. Why?
Well, I get a lot of folks who have had that experience of they've been in a social setting where they've wanted to plan a fun party, and they've had some success, and so there is that immediate draw to, I'm a party planner.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, something that we keep touching on today is that difference between being an expert in a field or having a specialty interest mm-hmm. versus running a business. And I think that they're sometimes two very different skill sets, and we may have that expertise of being able to come in and plan a great event or that expertise to make an amazing meal or make an amazing cupcake or an amazing cup of coffee. But that doesn't mean that because we're an artist in some respect that we know how to run a business.
So begin to walk us into that run a business way of thinking about, let's say, event planning. How do you start to get them focused on the run a business? What's the first advice you're rolling out there?
Well, I agree with what Brian was saying earlier, having a business plan. So the first advice that I'm always taking a look at is not only what are your expertise, what do you bring to the world of event planning, what's your interest area and the kind of event planning, because as Duncan was saying, everyone has to have a niche, and there's certainly a lot of different areas of event planning. But what's your plan? How successful sort of financially do you need to be in order to sustain yourself? How small can you start? I love what Duncan was saying about starting small, because I think that that's the key. The best advice anyone ever gave me was start one client at a time and let the job you're building or the career you're building overlap with other employment that you have.
So maybe do it on the side to begin with, or weekends,
one client,
or something.
Mm-hmm. One client that you can handle is almost like a side evening project, can start to roll into two, can then start to roll into three until you cross that threshold where your time now has become maxed out and your income is supporting the ability to make the leap. And then once you get to that place where you're able to support and sustain yourself, I am a strong believer in going out and getting additional resources. Business plan is the first step, but then having good financial advisors, paying for those services of people who are experts in the field who can help you. So we've continued to lean on our financial planners. We've continued to lean on brokers who have helped us navigate healthcare and employment and HR professionals. And we've brought in those resources as we continue to grow.
Yeah. But this is the world people are being asked to flourish in, and it takes some real focus to do it. A couple of callers, Danielle in Charleston, South Carolina. Danielle, what's your story?
Hi, Tom. Hi. I just wanted to comment in support of mentorship. I am a new entrepreneur coming from a different career, and I had to sort of reach out to a local person that I knew was really successful in our business, and I just said, hey, mind if I take you to lunch and pick your brain? And
how old are you? What are you doing, Danielle?
I'm 32, and I own a small craft bakery, which is funny how you were talking about that. And the person I reached out to is very successful in our area, and she's now on our board of advisors and has been super helpful to us. And it was just a matter of, let me make the phone call and ask around, and it worked.
So you got it by finding somebody who was just willing and able to give you the advice. Not a business relationship, just let's advise you.
Exactly. Let me take you to lunch, and let me see what you have to offer. And she's now done that every month since, and couldn't have asked for a better person. I'd say, to all the other entrepreneurs out there, just take that leap and find someone you admire and go for it. Just ask them to lunch.
Sounds great. Bake on, Danielle. One more. Patty in Canton, Ohio. Patty, you're on. Our time is short, but what's your story?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My story is I'm one of the willing. I quit my teaching job, high school English. librarian to write, but also in our town there's a couple other people that were all baby boomers. They all quit their jobs, and we kind of formed our own cheerleading squad. So it's not mentoring necessarily, but we kind of cheer each other on, and we actually make ourselves accountable by giving each other our goals for each week and whether or not we meet those.
So mutual support. Are you glad you did it, Patty?
Oh, my gosh. That's the biggest understatement in the world.
Out of that job, off and riding, and happy she's done it. Brian, is this a growth field in itself, mentoring with all the changes coming to our economy?
It absolutely is, and everyone has some time to share. And kudos to Danielle for getting that local mentor, which I have to say, big-time kudos, because you know when you think about it, as a bakery owner, as a new bakery owner, to get mentored by a fellow local bakery owner who's willing to share to her future competition. But yes, there's a plethora of opportunity in so many different areas, from culinary to technology to healthcare to you name it. So get a mentor, whether it's through Pivot Planet or do what Danielle did and everything in between, whether it's paid or unpaid. You're willing or unwilling, get out there and get a mentor.
Well, we're looking to keep it real in this economy that people are grappling with here these days. And this is a very real part of that change and how to make it successful, how to make it happen. Brian Kurth is founder and CEO of Pivot Planet, joins us today from Austin, Texas. Brian, good luck to you and thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Samantha Swaim in Portland, Oregon. She's done some of that mentoring. She's got Samantha Swaim fundraising, and I bet you're pretty good at it. Samantha, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Tom.
And Kathy Krepsio at Rutgers University Center for Workforce Development. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Thanks, Tom.
This is On Point.